Father, in the name of Yeshua, we come into your presence tonight, bowing our hearts before you, asking for the anointing and delivery unction of the Holy Spirit to reveal revelation knowledge that we may, as your people, become charged, become renewed, become excited, because we are hearing your word, hearing your voice, hearing what we are about to become, and what we can become through your word and through faith. Charge this service tonight with the power of the Holy Spirit as we declare the eternal victory of our Savior Yeshua over all sin and death, over the devil and every adversary of the eternal, through the blood of the Lamb and the name of Yeshua, declaring that no weapon formed against this assembly and against this people will prosper, for their righteousness is of Yahweh Yeshua. So do we declare your word tonight and receive the infilling and fullness of the Holy Spirit into our being, that spirit, soul, and body, we may become living epistles read of all men, that we may become your expressions upon this planet of your victory, of your love, and of your power. So let your word come alive tonight in us and through us, in that name that we love, the name of Yeshua. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Revelation 4, as we begin tape 2 of the Cherubim of Glory. Revelation chapter 4, after this I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of Yahweh. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts, living creatures, or simply Zoe, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast, the first Zoe, was like a lion. The second Zoe, like a calf. The third Zoe had the face as a man. And the fourth Zoe was like a flying eagle. And the 4 Zoe had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Yahweh Elohim El Shaddai, which was and is to come. And when those Zoe give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Yahweh, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, we've established last week the true biblical definition of the word living creature as it is found in most translations. The simple word in Hebrew is chai, C-H-A-I. In the Greek, zoe. Which simply is translated life. We have the word in some parts of King James, living creature. And in this instance, they falsely translated it beast. It's the same word, simply life being. And as I gave you last week, the definition that the Holy Spirit gave unto me when I was before the throne in glory was simply beings in whom is the fullness of divine life. Also referring to energy, fullness of energy, the fullness of activity, fullness of movement. These are all Synonyms, if you look in any dictionary. Life, the very definition of life is that which is opposed to death. Whatever death is, life is not. There is no death in Him. He is life. If you ask, what is deity? What is the eternal? Who is Yahweh? Who is the Messiah? One word. That's what He is. He is life. The Hebrew word that is used in this instance is chai. And in the Old Testament, the word, every time you find this word, you will find this word. In other words, when you look for life, the Hebrew word is simply chai. In the Garden of Eden, there was a tree of life, right? It's the tree of chai. In Hebrew to this day, chai is the highest form of life, an expression of joy. It is the expression of health. It is the expression of prosperity. When we read to you the definition of this word from the Greek Hebrew Bible, I believe, I didn't write it down, but I'm pretty sure it's 22. Twenty-four sixteen in Strong's, we've preached on this many times, simply it says chai, the Hebrew adjective comes from 24:21, which is chayah, to live. You remember in Exodus 3:14, Moses is about to go down by the commandment of the Eternal, and he says, well, who shall I say sent me? He says, tell him that I am that I am. The essence of that word, chayah, is simply the verb form of this noun form called life. The very essence of His nature, this is it. If you want to be like the Father, you must be in the form of chai. You must have life. How many know that we were dead in sins? To have the opposite, to become holy, is holiness, is merely the expression of life. Listen to the definition in Hebrew from Strong's Concordance and from the Hebrew-Greek Bible. Its meanings are living, alive, having life, to remain alive, to sustain life, to live prosperously, to live forever. Isn't that good? Amen. To live forever means you're never going to die. Right. To be quickened. That is, if you did die, you're going to be brought back. To revive from sickness. That refers to healing. In other words, anything that turns any negative around in the Hebrew is simply life. It becomes living. Or to reverse discouragement, to reverse death, to be vigorous, raw, like raw foods, it's alive. Fresh, running water, as an example, would be called life. By the life of as one lives, as used in oaths and exclamations, livelihood, refreshment, and so forth. I underline the last section that the commentator puts into this lexicon. The Hebrews viewed man holistically, that is, body, mind, and spirit, as a unified whole. Life was associated with health, prosperity, vitality, while death was the very opposite, unquote. That's the definition of life. We're going to look at some scriptures tonight that pertain to this word for life. All I want you to see is that this particular word, simply its full definition, are beings in whom is the fullness of divine life. This is Father's vision of those people that He has made for His glory, that are going to walk in His glory, walk in His power, walk in His anointing, and He wouldn't tell you that this is what you're going to look like if you couldn't be there. When Father is through with you, you're going to be a winner. You're going to be an overcomer. You were made to conquer sin. You were made to live victoriously. You were made to defeat Satan. You were made to glorify Him. You were made to worship Him. Every part of your nature is designed for prayer. It's designed for praise. It's designed for victory. And as we come to this reality, that this word includes every blessing you will ever have. If you miss a blessing in life, you simply miss life. But here are a group of people, he says, is a vision of my people who've learned to be filled with me. He wants to live in you, speak through you, think through you, act through you, until you are a living epistle read of all men. This is his desire. Now, as we go into Revelation chapter 4, I want us to read it exactly as it is in the original Hebrew and as it is in the original Greek. And here's what we have in verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, which are tabernacle words. And in the midst of the throne, this is the throne of Yahweh, this is the throne of the Ark of the Covenant, the propitiatory mercy seat, over which the blood of the bullock, the blood of the lamb, was laid for the atonement of sin. And in the midst of this throne, and round about the throne, were four, see, King James says beast here, but it's not in Hebrew, it's chai. In the Greek, it is the word zoe, translated the very life of the eternal. His very nature is expressed by that word. And it simply is saying, as he looks on the throne, in the middle of the throne, next to the one who was sitting on the throne, are these four beings. Now, whatever they are, whoever they are, as commentators disagree about this, whatever they are, we know one thing, there are four groups that he notices are literally full of the very energy of the eternal. They're full of this life. They are full of life. There is no death in them. There is no sin in them. There is no failure in them. There is no weakness in them. These individuals live in the throne room. That is their place. Now, he begins to give us a description. The first Zoe, or Chai, was like a lion. He was like a lion. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, it simply says, and these four that come out of the cloud and out of the glory of the eternal, it says they four had the four faces, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of a man, and the face of an eagle. These are the four descriptions of Christ in the four Gospels. He was the lion of the tribe of Judah. Satan comes as a roaring lion, but he's not a lion. He tries to imitate Christ, and so he begins to speak, because the function of a lion is to speak with authority and produce fear in his enemies. And Satan loves to imitate to produce fear in the Christian. But Father has created us to be like the lion, and when you are full of his life, the characteristics of what the lion is designed to do in nature should be expressed in you, meaning that when you speak the word of the eternal, when you walk in the Spirit, you bring a threat to Satan's kingdom. You are ready to overthrow the gates of hell. You literally terrify the kingdom of darkness by your presence and by your praise. Hallelujah. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Let's look at the prophet Amos. In the Old Testament, we find this amazing scripture. I love this scripture. Amos chapter 3. Amos 3, verse 8. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? Anybody ever been caught in the jungle alone with a lion? You know, it could be a terrifying experience. I heard where several people were attacked down in the lion country. One of the lions got loose and attacked several of the people, and some lawsuits went out, and some people have been hurt. There is a natural propensity in man that if you were alone with a wild beast, when the lion roars, it's like the rattle of a snake. You know that there's an enemy around, and you could be devoured, you could be destroyed. And so he takes this analogy of what the average human expression is in the face of a lion. The lion has roared, that is, uses his voice. How many know that the roar of a lion is simply the lion's voice? Isn't that right? The lion hath roared, who will not fear? In other words, I challenge anyone to not be afraid if you're alone with a lion and you're confronted by a lion. But that's only the middle of the sentence. Then he likens this unto one who is walking in the Spirit. Listen to this. The lion is roared, who will not fear? And Yahweh Elohim hath spoken, who can but prophesy? In other words, when Father speaks, when he roars, by his word and by his Spirit in your life, the end result is going to be you prophesying. Father is looking for a prophetic people, a people who will live by the word, a people who will speak the word with authority. Now, you're not going to speak the word with authority, number one, unless you know it, believe it, and know it to be absolutely infallible. Psalms 107 says, he sent his word, and it healed them. Hallelujah. His word heals. Every miracle that our Savior performed, how did he do it? Bible said he did it by his word. He spoke the word. The Roman centurion said, but speak the word and my servant will be healed. He said, so be it. In that same hour, the man was healed. What happened? He spoke the word. Peter wanted to walk on the water. How did he walk on the water? Yeshua simply gave a commandment, gave a word. And as he responded to the word, a miracle took place. Nature bowed its knee to the name of Yeshua, bowed its knee to the word of the Eternal. And that's what we must understand. When we get a hold of the roaring lion of the tribe of Judah, and we begin to let his word and his spirit move in our spirit, you and I are going to become lions upon this earth. And you know what? When we roar, who's not going to be afraid? Today when we speak, who's who listens? How many of you have tried to witness to somebody? They just laugh at you, cut you off, they're rude. See, and we're intimidated by people. We're intimidated. How many know this body of flesh and the way we were raised? We've been taught to be intimidated. We've been taught to fear people. We fear. If the world says, do this, and we know it's wrong, we don't know how to say no because we're intimidated. We should be the ones intimidating them by saying no. Instead of us being concerned about what they think, they should be concerned about what we think. Don't you think so? Huh? That's a lion. Now, in Ezekiel, it begins with the face because the face is the first place in which you give expression to truth. Okay? The face is the first place you give expression. I can prove that. Let anything during the day change its course and catch you unawares, and the first part of your body that will ever respond is your face. The moment you hear something you don't like, there's going to be a frown, a furrow, an angry... It's going to come out in the face, but it comes out anywhere else. Your face is the first expression. The face is where Father made you to look face to face. How many know that we look at each other face to face? And what on the day of Yom Kippur, as the high priest came into the Holy of Holies, it was called the day of face to face. It was the day when the high priest came in alone and faced the Eternal face to face. Now, if we're going to face him, Father has got to give us his face, because the only face that can be accepted before him is his face. And he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And unless you approach his throne in the same nature, in the same manner as the lion, you're not going to receive that presence, because it flows through that mannerism. And so in the book of Ezekiel, we see they simply have a face. But in the book of Revelation, we read something else here. We don't read the word face at all. We read something else. Let's take a look at it again. He said, as he looked into the throne, verse 7, the first Chai, the first Zoe, the first living creature, was like a lion. Now all of a sudden, this face had developed into the arms were lion arms, the legs were lion legs, the chest was lion chest, the back was lion back. Everything about this person was all lion. You know what that means? Every part of me is prophetic. Whew, hallelujah. I'm a walking prophecy going someplace. I am the oracle of the Eternal. It operates at work. It operates at home. It operates next door. It doesn't just operate in church. It operates everywhere I go. I am his word going somewhere. I am producing fear in every enemy of the Eternal. I am excitement going somewhere. That's the way Father sees you, looks at you in the final analysis. Well, sure is a far cry from where we are today. How in the world do we get to be in that place where He wants us to be? How do we get there? Well, first of all, if you do not see who you really are, had nothing to do with feeling, folks. How many of you always feel like a lion? It's Father that has to tell you this is what you are. You are a lion. He told Judah, you are a lion's whelp. You're a cub. You're a baby lion, and you're soon going to be a young lion, and then you're going to be an old lion. But Judah, let me tell you something. All I see you as is a lion. And so all of a sudden, from Genesis 49 on, Judah becomes known as the lion tribe. And Christ, as the fulfillment of the Messiah, came to fulfill the prophecies of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And you are in Christ, therefore making you part of the lion tribe. Not lion, L-Y-I-N-G, but lion, L-Y-O-N. Hallelujah. See, we've got to see these things. I'm a lion. And so all of a sudden, which means I develop it in the face. And you're not going to develop it in the face until you develop it in your thinking processes. You have to start thinking, I'm not a worm. I'm not insignificant. I am special. I've been created by the King of Kings. I wasn't just born to some family down here on planet Earth. I was designed by the Eternal, by His hands and by His mind and by His Spirit and by the blood of the Lamb, by being redeemed. He is telling me I'm to be in His image. I'm to be like Him. I am to show forth His holiness. Hallelujah. I am to reflect His character. That's every part of my name. And you know what? When you and I don't walk in peace, and we don't walk in love, and we don't walk in joy, you'll start to experience after a while a prolonged sensitivity to fear and obsession, and you will start to experience disease. Because the body cannot handle stress. How many know that? Well, I've been telling you all along, I can't handle stress. That's right, you can't. You weren't designed to. Well, then how come you give up? Well, because you're supposed to control stress. There's no such thing as no stress. How many know the only reason for having a gymnasium, the only reason for having a spa, is to use what you didn't know you had? And it takes some effort. Right? You have to start using it. You didn't know all this time that you had all that good stuff in you. But all it takes discipline. How many know it takes discipline to go to a spa every day? And it takes real dedication. And there's times we just don't have that. See? Well, it's not going to come out without discipline. And so Christ said, herein shall men know that you are my disciples. And the word disciple means discipline one. One who makes a commitment. A commitment to a way of life. A commitment to Him that says, I will every day pray. I will every day study. I will every day get involved in some way in Christian activity. I'm going to witness for Him. I'm going to get involved. Why? Because as you give, when you don't feel like it, you're exercising the muscle in you that was designed to come out. And how many know the law that says what you don't use, you lose? Now Satan knows if you don't learn to constantly praise, you will soon develop a constant gripitis. Alright? Now, what's what people say? Well, why do the person gripe so much? Well, because they haven't learned to praise a lot. I notice every time I gripe, I'm not praising. I don't need deliverance from gripitis. I just need to start exercising praise. Because you can't gripe and praise at the same time. I've got to learn to discipline my mind. And I'm going to say, from this mouth, from this face, this is what's going to come out. Now, you don't get that way overnight. You have to have it brought to your attention over and over and over and over. Until you finally realize, I need to live by His law. I need to live by His word. I need to function according to His eternal law. I need to learn how to walk in love. That's what I need to learn. How do I do that? I can only learn to walk in love to the degree that I learn to care. How do you learn to care? See, we have to learn to be caring by reaching out to people and seeing that place of need. And I need to understand that I'm designed to be a giver. Now, when a prophet prophesied, he very seldom ever prophesied to himself. He prophesied to someone else. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, he who prophesies edifies. And the word to edify there is the same word for edifice or building a house or a building. Do you know that by building somebody up, you're actually constructing a building? Do you know why some people out there aren't strong? Because nobody built them up. Somebody has to have somebody who believes in them. How many of you have ever felt like, I don't think anybody believes in me. I'm not even too sure I believe in me. I get discouraged just living with me. How do I get to a place where I'm not discouraged with me? That's the hard part of Christianity. Well, you know what? The Bible says that a prophet who prophesies will prophesy, and he will edify by his prophecy. And by the way, biblical prophecy does not always mean going around with your heads in the clouds saying, "Thus saith Yahweh," or "Thus saith the Lord," as the world would say. Thus saith. Anybody can do that. Why? You can utter off a nice prophecy, go back out there and have a worldly attitude. There's a lot of Christians out there that do that. The word to prophesy here means every time you speak the word, you can just be talking in the natural to somebody. And you can be encouraging them at that moment. You're in a mode of prophecy. You are building up. When you are speaking according to the word, you are speaking prophetically. And those who learn to live in that take on the face of a lion, and from the face it grows to the rest of your body. Until you take on the mannerisms of this creature, and all of a sudden all you know is that now you see, a lion knows it's in control. It doesn't have anything, it doesn't have any concepts of size of various kinds of life around it. It does not compare itself. It doesn't compare itself to the elephant. I mean, the elephant's a lot larger than the lion. And there's a lot of people that you look at that to you they're a lot nicer, they're a lot stronger, they have more talents. They're big elephants. You're just a little teeny weeny lion, and all you've learned to do is meow. You haven't learned that you can do things besides meow. I accidentally, Sunday night, flipped on Channel 7, what do they call it, funny? America's Home Videos. And I guess they were having a contest for being on the air for 10 years or something, and they were showing the funniest things over the years, and they give away $100,000 to the funniest thing that was ever videoed. One of the runner-ups was somebody had videoed their cat as they were bringing in another cat. Funniest thing I ever saw. The cat absolutely looked at this other cat. And you know how cats do sometimes. You know, their back humps up and the hair flares up. And then they go like this, and the camera went on the cat's face like this. But when the person holding this other cat was bringing it in, the person took the cat and ran into the other room. This cat chased them with the person and the cat. Then the cat came back in. It was so wild that somebody had dared bring in another cat that the cat went after the cameraman. The cat went after the house owner. I mean, this cat attacked everything. It was like a tarantula turned loose. It was flopping it up. It was attacking everybody. I mean, it was the funniest. I would love to have had that video just to have that insight. You know, it was really funny just to watch how a cat just turned and attacked a human being. It no longer was just giving it to another cat. It says, "I ain't scared of nothing." Well, it was too scared, I don't know which. But you know, that's the way we ought to be. That cat was literally full of cat. And we need to be full of lion. We need to learn how to just attack everything that's attacking us. We need to learn how to destroy destruction. We need to learn how to heal disease, not help it along. Which means that we've got to have a different mentality. Father is saying, here's my picture of my people who are going to learn how to live by my word. It's not that hard, but here are the benefits. You're going to end up on my throne. And that's glorious, isn't it? Okay, let's go back to Revelation 4. Oh, great Zoes that are sitting here today. I want you to look at that person next to you and say, "I'm a Zoe." I'm a Zoe. That's right. That's what you are. You're a Zoe. Now, the Bible says, and the first Zoe that he saw was a lion. So I want you to look at somebody and say, "You're a lion." Now, not "you're lying." There's a difference. Okay, not say "you're lying," but "you're a lion." Okay. We got that down, right? Now, also, in Hebrew, it's the word chai. So I want you to look at that person next to you and learn how to spit. That's the Hebrew guttural sound. I want you to look at that person and say, "You're a hi." And you're not saying hi. You're getting high, that's true. Because life will make you high. Okay. Verse 7, the first beast was like a lion. The first Zoe, the first high, was like a lion. Now the second Zoe, or high, was like a calf. or in the original, an ox, a baby, kind of a somewhere between a young bull. How many know lion is the king of the wild animals? And as we spoke before, to be the king of the wild animals means you learn how to rule the wild or uncontrolled passions in your life. And you also learn how to take authority over other people's uncontrolled emotions when they come against you.
Amen.
Now, when you learn how to control your uncontrolled emotions, and you learn how to control other people's out-of-control emotions towards you, you have just developed the face of a lion. But what about the face of an ox? Well, it's the same thing, but opposite symbology. Let's go to Exodus 20. Exodus 20, verse 24. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and you shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings. Now, these had nothing to do with sin, folks. Burnt offerings and peace offerings didn't have a thing to do with failure. They didn't have anything to do with sin. So this didn't have anything to do with the broken law. It didn't have anything to do with you doing anything wrong. A burnt offering was a positive thing, and a peace offering was a positive thing. Because you and I are not always at peace, somebody's got to make a peace offering. Because you and I are not always committed, somebody had to become committed for us in our place. And Christ was our ultimate sacrifice. So not only was He our sin offering, He was also our burnt offering. And when you're in Him, you then become a burnt offering, which is Romans 12:1. Therefore, commit yourself, your whole body, unto Him as a living sacrifice. In other words, you can now use my lips, you can use my mind, you can use my eyes, you can use my ears, you can use my hands, you can use my feet, you can use me. Take me wherever you want. Let me only speak your word. Let me only act like you. That's a burnt offering. But there were only certain animals that you could use. You couldn't use lions for a burnt offering because a lion is a wild animal and wild things cannot be committed. You'd like to commit them, but they can't be committed. Okay? Can you see that? Burnt offering is the total dedication of your will to Father's will. That's the burnt offering. The peace offering is when there is tension and strife that you're involved in somewhere, you go to make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Elohim, or the sons of Elohim. So, as a child of peace. Now, notice this. Here are the offerings for these two offerings. Thy sheep, why? Because sheep are gentle. They don't fight. And try to get in a fight with a sheep. Go to the fair. Go to the fairgrounds. Go to that section where they got sheep. Try and get in a fight with a sheep. I mean, the worst the sheep will do, just look at you and go, you know, it's stupid. It doesn't know how to fight. A wolf will attack it. It'll just lay there and get eaten. And sometimes that's why we're called sheep, because sometimes we'll just lay down and let people walk all over us. We'll let life tear us apart. We'll accept everything. We'll accept our sicknesses. We'll accept our position of poverty. We'll accept what everybody tells us. We're no good. That's right, I'm no good. Am I speaking? Huh? Am I prophesying to you?
Amen.
We're sheep. And so He became the shepherd and the great sheep offering to make peace as a burnt offering, and thy oxen. Sheep and oxen are designed for sacrifice. More nursing. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. What He says is, I will come and I will bless thee if you're walking in the burnt offering and in the peace offering of the lamb and of the ox. Same word in Revelation 4:7. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth Yahweh take care for oxen? How many know, as we've preached on it so many times before, that you put a yoke on oxen? They plow the ground. They're what are called burden bearers. Burden bearers. An oxen is a unique kind of farm animal. These are called, the ox, in fact, is called the king of the domestic animal. As the lion is the king of the wild animals, the ox is the king of the domestic animal. Out of all the domestic animals, the ox is the greatest expression of service. You know what the ox does? You see, in the old times, they used to tie an ox up to a center pole, and that sucker would just go around in circles all day long. Never gripe. Never complain. It's going in circles. How many of you go around in circles all day long, and you don't seem to get anywhere, and you just at peace? Don't gripe about nothing. Everything's cool. Don't know where you're going, but it's cool. Nothing's working out. Just going around in circles. Talking to your mate, going around in circles. Going to work, talking in circles. Going to work, just going in circles. Same thing, day in, day out, seemingly going nowhere. Just an ox. What in the world? In Ezekiel 1, it's the face of an ox. In Revelation 4:7, it becomes a complete ox. The ox is the symbol of service, as the lion is the symbol of authority. Which he's trying to tell us that there's only one way to rule, and it's by serving. It's by serving. You see, I do not believe that these are different groups in a sense that some of you are lions and some of you are oxes. I believe that you have no way of becoming a lion until you are an ox. See, some of you want to learn how to rule and roar like lions, but they're wild lions, not Christian lions. Christian lions have to, first of all, become an ox. They have to learn how to serve. They who serve rule. And that's the law. You want to be on the throne? You got to learn how to minister one to another. Feed one another. Not complain. Oh, that's hard. Because my flesh loves to complain. No one loves to complain more than me. If I had my brothers, if I was a man of the world, why, one of the greatest thrills of life is getting up in the morning and getting dressed and going down having a cup of coffee with all my fellow employees and sitting there and gossiping about everybody else. Yeah, me just to relax and gossip. Relax and talk. Relax and get nowhere. That's not an ox. An ox doesn't do that. It never complains. Never complains. And so Father is trying to say, I want you to learn in your life how to not complain. And you say, how come I'm in this trial for so long? Because you haven't learned what it takes to get out of it. As long as you complain, you're going to stay right there in it until. In other words, I believe the four faces are the four mannerisms that you must learn before you can learn how to rule on the throne. And you have to apply them to your life. Does that make sense to you? I have to learn how to speak up. I also have to learn when to shut up. And it's learning how to put those in balance that gives me victory. When I learn to serve, I learn to rule. When I learn not to complain, and I learn to edify, those are positives. See, the burnt offering is 100% positive. There's nothing I will ever say that will promote strife. Every word that I say promotes peace. Good grief, there's not a human being in this world that can do that all the time. There's nobody here tonight that can do that all the time, including me. What am I doing for the rest of my life? The number one role of the Holy Spirit is to help me bring my flesh under the control to where that's what I am doing all the time. Walking in the Spirit. That's His goal in me. Alright? Now, there's something strange on the next one. Revelation 4:7. And the third beast, the third Zoe, the third Chi, had a face as a man. Now, Isn't that amazing? Notice that the lion was a complete lion, the calf was a complete calf, but the man was still only a face. And in both cases, both in Revelation and in Ezekiel 1, man is number three. Why isn't man number one? Why is the lion first and the ox second and man number three? How many know that when the first time we find man is the king of all creation, because when man was made, Genesis 1:26, Father said, let us make man in our image. And let them have dominion. Your very expression is to dominate. Now, if you don't believe me, just because you sin doesn't mean you don't dominate. Every one of you is looking for control. We love to be in control. How many of you like to be out of control? There's nothing that will ruin a marriage faster than a controlling spirit. Why? Well, the man's got to be in control, and the woman knows that she's got to be in control, and neither one knows that that's the way it's supposed to be. So as long as you have two people always trying to be in control, you're going to have two people fighting because they haven't learned how to serve. Man was made to dominate. The nature of man, and by the word man, it doesn't mean male man. The word literally means both male and female together. Your very nature is to rule. Your very nature. That's why you can't stand it when things aren't going right. It's not according to your nature for things to go wrong. And you were made to control it. Well, what determines that? The face of a man. It's man that has the ruling factor. Well, what is he trying to say? Well, you see, most of us, we think lions first and Father meets us at our level. I want authority. Well, how do you get it? You got to be an ox. You got to learn how to serve. Well, how do you do that? You got to learn why you were made. See? Now, how many know that three is the completement of what is called the three in one, which brings the unifying factor or harmony in the triangle? It completes it, number three. Number three is the fulfillment of third dimension. You ever do geometry on paper? It's two-dimensional, isn't it? Length and width has no depth. The moment you put depth into it, you got third dimension. It is the image of man that will add the dimensions of Father's life to you. Man is the completement. Let's look at the scriptures that deal with that. That's in Ephesians 4:24. To those of you that were not here several years ago, I would recommend that you get my 39-tape series on the new man. You imagine 39 tapes just on that one phrase. And now we're on life, a bigger one. Ephesians 4:24. That you put on the new man, which after Yahweh is created in righteousness and true holiness. You're to put on the new man. The new man. He saw the face of a man. What is it? He saw the face of a new man. This is a new man. This is a man that is righteous. It means everything is turning out all right. See, some people think righteousness and it becomes negative. To be righteous to some people is, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And every religion has its do's and its don'ts. But that is not what the word righteousness means. It means living in such a way that everything is right. You have right, you're right on in that conversation. You're right on in that situation. You're right on at work. You're right on at home. That is righteousness. The new man is created in righteousness and holiness. Now, righteousness is a word describing manward. I'm in right relationship with each of you. How many know that when you're not right with somebody, it eats on you? You know what I'm saying? How many know that Satan's great hold on the church is to keep you and I focused on one another? Your defects, your weaknesses, and what you don't do. It's rough. Because that's the way we've been trained to think. But the Bible teaches us that this new man learns how to be right on. In other words, whether you're right with me or not, I am right with you. And when we could learn to get that attitude, I am right with you whether you're right with me or not, we're going to have overcomingness in the church. That's called righteousness. Holiness is a divine word. It's my relationship to Father. Righteousness is my relationship to you, and holiness is my relationship to Father. I am always right on with Him. You know what? If I'm right on with Him, I can ask what I will, and it will be done. Because I'm asking according to His will, and if I know His will, I am that new man. As long as I fulfill Ephesians 4:24, my prayers will be answered. Hallelujah. Also, the next scripture on that is Colossians 3:10. And you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. The new man is this man that becomes the new redeemed man, that becomes the sin-proof man, the death-proof man, the sickness-proof man. This is a man that learns to walk in life. Okay? That's the body of a man. I'm just giving you an outline tonight of these four faces. We are going to tear them down. If you think I've done that already, you're wrong. I'm giving you simply an outline. The fourth Zoe, verse 7, was like a flying eagle. We put out a tape a couple years ago called Eagle Saints. It's kind of a meaty tape. I suggest some of you, when you see Leslie, tell him I want a tape of the eagle. And so I won't go into it that much tonight. I just want to mention a couple scriptures in relation to it. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 49. Here it's used in a negative connotation. Where in Deuteronomy 28, he tells you that if you obey his law, the blessings will come on you, but if you disobey, then the curse will come on you. And this is one of the curses. Yahweh shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies. Now, eagles, what he's saying here, number one, not only do they fly, but they are swift flyers. They're fast. They move fast. How many of you like to get things done fast? How many of you have little patience? Eagle saints have very little patience. Zen 4. Okay. But that doesn't make it good. Zen 4. Job 39. Job 39, verse 27. Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? In other words, where does she live? In her nest, right? That's her home. Her home is on high. How many of you learn to live high? It means you're not low. You're high. You're living above things. She dwelleth and abideth on the rock. They learn to live on rocks. They don't live in the dirt. How many know that Christ is our rock? In other words, if you learn to dwell in Christ, you're an eagle. Upon the crag of the rock and the strong place, from thence she seeketh the prey. In other words, I can see my enemies clearly. They can't see me, but I... How many of you have been overtaken by an enemy and you didn't know they were the enemy until after they overtook you? That was a nice person, then you realized you were just taken. How come you didn't notice it? Because you weren't living on high with eagle's eyes. Bible says here that the eagle seeks her prey and her eyes behold afar off. The eagle has two unique things about her eyes. Number one, her eye, out of all eagles, the eagle is called the king of the birds. So far we've got four concepts of kingly rulership, right? That the lion, the king of the wild beast, the ox, the king of the domestic animals, the man, the king of creation, and the eagle, the king of the birds. The eagle can see further than any other bird. The eagle, in fact, it tells us, can look straight into the eye of the sun, and it does not hurt its eye. It can literally see the sun directly. Now, if you want to be able to see him face to face, you got to learn how to develop eagle eyes. And so the face of an eagle is the face with the eyes that have the capacity to see him. Most people can't see Father in anything. Well, he ain't in this. Eagle saints can see Father in everything. They see him as the ruler, the controller. And they're able to spot the enemy. They can sense it in their spirit. There's an enemy here. And they bind the enemy. And they declare that no weapon formed against me will prosper. They sense that enemy before the enemy comes in. And they kick the gates of hell down. And no enemy can grab the eagle. The eagle always conquers the enemy. We always have seen the films and we've heard the stories how the eagle takes the serpent in its claws and smashes its head against the rock. That's how eagles destroy serpents. And you know what? When you learn to take the serpent in your life and you learn how to pound his head on the rock, on the finished work of Calvary, when you declare his victory over Satan, not yours, his, and you simply stand in him and let his victory become your victory, you'll rise up, become an eagle saint, and you'll put the prey down and you will conquer. That makes you an eagle saint. Hallelujah. Her young ones also suck up blood. Oh, that's Gary. Oh, you're missing it, folks. You know, an eagle motherlet has children. And the first thing she teaches her children is to suck blood. Oh, that's gross. How many know that life's in the blood? How many of you would like to just suck the life out of demons? Just suck the life out of the devil. Suck the life out of contrary circumstances until it dies. The power to speak his word. Hallelujah. Her young ones also suck up blood. And where the slain are, there is she. That's why eagles will be at the Battle of Armageddon. Those are the four concepts. My last one, I want us quickly to turn to Exodus 37. Exodus 37, verse 6 through 8. This is the actual process of developing the throne room in type and shadow. His father said to Moses in Exodus 25, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell. This is the first picture of what Revelation 4, 6, and 7 is all about. He made the mercy seat of pure gold. Gold, the symbol of divinity. Purity and love. 2.5 cubits is the length, 1.5 cubits the breadth. And he made 2 cherubim. Now the word cherubim that we spoke of last week, cherubim in Hebrew, literally means guardians of the throne. And according to, as we talked about it last week, the word in Ezekiel chapter 10, I think it's verse 15, it says the chai and the cherubim are one and the same. So whenever you read the word cherubim in the Bible, which is an office, it is the office of those who are filled with life. Now, you're filled with life. This is the office in which you will function. And the cherubim are only seen in connection to the throne. Here is its picture. And he made 2 cherubim of gold. Now, if you're made of gold, now, how many remember in our teachings of the tabernacle that the ark was made of 2 things only? You know what they were?
Gold and acacia wood.
Gold and acacia wood. Acacia wood is your humanity, because it was birthed in the desert, born dry. Christ had to give you water of life and bring you forth. But this acacia wood was overlaid with gold within and without. And all you saw was the gold. But inside was this humanity showing us that the only thing that can conquer our humanity is his divine nature ruling and living in us. But in connection to the cherubim, you won't find any acacia wood. The cherubim are 100% pure gold. Pure gold. There's no wood in them. Now, remember when Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15, he said, take heed how you build on the foundation. And there were 6 materials that you could use. 3 that were bad, 3 that were good. And he tells you as a Christian, take heed how you build. The first one was what?
Gold.
Then silver, precious stones of the breastplate, stones of the New Jerusalem city, That's the last. But then he said, wood. Wood. Hay and stubble. Now, the top of the list of the bad three are wood, and the top of the list in the chemicals was gold. So you have wood and gold. The ark was made of wood and gold. But the wood had to be completely covered, showing that he who is our ark of safety was both human and divine. He was both complete man and complete deity. But you and I were completely human. Only as I reach out by faith and receive him do I take on his divine nature in seed form. Just a little bit of gold. And what he's trying to do in my life is coat me with gold front and rear, but I still got this humanity. But he's looking for a people who will learn to live in the spirit and not in their humanity. And for those who will die to the flesh, he offers them something new. I'm going to take and remove from you forever your humanity. Now, not every Christian is going to lose their humanity. Only cherubim are made of solid gold. Now, watch this. And he made two cherubim of gold, beaten. Beaten. You know how you get the flesh out of you? Beat. You ever said, man, I feel beat.
I feel like a rusty beat.
Yeah. Well, that's why. Until you get rid of it, then you won't feel that way anymore when you finally get beaten.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It didn't cost anything. Okay. He made two cherubim of gold, beaten out of one piece, made he them on the two ends of the mercy seat. One cherub on the end on this side, another cherub on the other end on that side, and out of the mercy seat made he the cherubim on the two ends thereof. All right? Now, as I close, my last verse will be Hebrews 2. Let me show you something really exciting. Verse 9. Well, we probably should start with verse 6, get the whole context. Hebrews 2, verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man? How many of you said that? What am I? That thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. Did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put a couple of things. All things. Thou hast put all things. Say that again. All things. How many of you got some things in your life that are troubling you? Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. In other words, we know that when Christ rose from the dead, every aspect of anti-deity was annulled by his resurrection, right? We don't see him manifesting that in reality yet. We don't see it manifested yet. But we see Yeshua, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of Yahweh should taste death for every man. Now here it comes. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. These are the 24 elders and the four Zoe. These are the sons. These two groups, the 24 elders and the four living creatures. Bringing many sons unto glory, because the cherubim are called the cherubim of glory. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. You and him, same thing. Same thing. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, the eternal resurrected Christ looks at you and calls you brother. You know what he's saying? Your nature and mine are the same. Your calling, my calling, it's the same. And until you grasp this, you're always going to struggle with who you are. When you grasp this, you will no longer struggle. I am the same. I am the same. I have the same calling. I have the same ability. I am to live like. I am to feel like. I am to talk like. Well, good grief. I'll never be able to do that. That's why we start with the face. We've got to teach you how to see who you... There's nothing worse than an ego that somebody decided to take from its nest on the rock and raise it down at the chicken farm. And you know what? If a eagle is raised with chickens, even though it's an eagle, it thinks it's a chicken. You know what I mean? Now some of you are looking out there and everything you see walks like a chicken. Talks like a chicken. And because you're born in it, you think you're one. And so you start talking like a chicken and acting like a chicken. You're just another chick in the batch. But inside, you're an eagle. And one day, mama flies overhead, and you look up. And you say, I wish I could do that, because see, chickens can't fly. And this little eagle, not knowing it's an eagle, says, oh, I wish I could be like that. And as the eagle looks up, it notices something it never noticed before. It looks more like that flying in the air than it does looks like that chicken. Now it still thinks like a chicken, talks like a chicken, but it just found out it's not built like a chicken. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, mama spots it with her eye. And she speaks to it in eagle language. Use your wings. And the little eagle flies out of the chicken camp and begins to soar with mama. No longer talks like a chicken, no longer acts like a chicken, because she ain't a chicken. Let me just give you 1 John 4:17. As he is, so are we in this present world. You think you're still a human, don't you? You think you're still just flesh, don't you? You think you're still chicken, don't you? You still talk like the world, think like the world, think in terms of defeat. And Father said, you're an eagle. You're a lion. You're an ox. You're a new creation. You're a new man. You can conquer. You can win. Look at me. We're one, beaten out of the same stuff. You're solid gold. You're not wood. You're gold. And as you begin to let Him bring that which He's put inside of you, you will find the old falling off, the new being put on. And as you give new expressions to His Spirit, He molds your life until all of a sudden one day you begin to grow up. You talk like lions. You act like oxes. You look like a man and you fly like an eagle. And at that moment, you become a being in whom is the fullness of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we praise You tonight. We worship You that we've been made in Your image. We've been made to overcome. We've been made to win. We are Your people. We are the sheep of Your pasture. We are designed to live Your life upon this planet. We praise You and magnify You. And Father, tonight, we take dominion. We take authority. We begin to move out of our nest. We begin to move out of the chicken farm. And we begin to look up unto Him, our Heavenly Father, who begins to fly as an eagle, delivering Israel out of Egypt. And You are our Father, and we are Your children. We are Your eaglets. We arise tonight in the realm of the Spirit, flying in the heavenlies by the wind of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Rising above every mountain, taking dominion tonight, that we are new people, a new creation designed to be like You. Thank You, Father. Teach us this week to speak like You and to think like You and to act like You, no matter how bad it hurts. You'll beat it into us that we are Your sons and your daughters. And you said in the last days you would pour out upon all flesh your Spirit, and your sons and your daughters would prophesy. So let it be done in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.